Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Kampala, once again. And let's turn to the book of Luke. Today we start our Christmas sermon series that will last three sermons this Sunday, next Sunday, and on Christmas Day. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 56. We can read together. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee, Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive, and in your womb bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, your maidservant, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of the greeting sounded in ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary, in verse 46, breaks out in song. First Christmas carol. Shouldn't our choir put some tunes to this? Sing it. "My soul magnifies the Lord," she says, "and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of the hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her 3 months and returned to her house. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for the lessons that you want us to learn today, Lord, from you. As we look into the life of Mary and Joseph, Lord, those you chose to be the earthly parents of your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that for me, Lord, experience your favor, Lord, through this Christmas and into next year. Lord, that you may teach us to believe, to have simple faith in you, Lord, and to obey your word. And Lord Jesus, that you may empower us with your spirit, Lord. So Jesus, speak to us. May we receive your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, the gap between the last book of the Old Testament and the New Testament, Matthew, is a period of 400 silent but chaotic years as well. And you can read a lot from history about what happened in those 400 years. The Greeks subdued the Jews, and then the Romans took over from the Greeks. And in fact, Jesus would be born under the Roman Empire. And there was a lot of war and chaos in Israel. The temple was desecrated by the Greeks and rededicated to God. And now the Jews revolted against the Greeks and tried against the Romans too, but they were subdued. And after 400 years of chaos and heavenly silence, God breaks the silence with news of a virgin birth to a little known carpenter and a teenage girl, that they would be the mother and father, earthly adopted parents of Jesus Christ. I suppose they were going through their normal day, thinking about what they needed to do and, you know, of course, expecting the promise of the Messiah. If they had read the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the other Old Testament prophecies. And they say that this is the greatest story ever told, the Christmas story. And today we'll look particularly at the life of Joseph and Mary. And we have three lessons to learn this morning. First of all is, excuse me, Christmas came with the outpouring of God's favor, as we see. Secondly, from the Christmas story, we are taught to have faith, and that faith should lead us to obedience. And lastly, the Christmas story came with the outpouring and power of God's Spirit. First of all, the Christmas narrative is a story of the coming down of God's favor. You look at verse 26. Maybe she was going around doing her house chores for the day. An angel appears. The last time angels had appeared was probably in the time of Daniel. An angel appears, sent by God, Gabriel, to a particular young lady who was engaged to Joseph. And the message in verse 28, the angel had was, "Rejoice, be happy, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Look at verse 30. "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God." How many of us would say that we need God's favor in our day? Excuse me, I had a cough call during the week, so it's affecting my voice. But we can all say that we need God's favor, don't we? And if you're in another church, you probably would get the receive, you know, and then you'll receive. But the Christmas narrative is a story of God's favor coming down. How many of us would love to hear, "You are highly favored, you favored one"? Message delivered by not anyone else, an angel. And he says this twice. "You favored, favored one, you're blessed among women, you are highly favored by God. You found favor with God." Now the Jews and probably some cultures, I think in Asia, still do this. They engaged their children at an early age, probably as young as 3. And I think that would save us a lot of dating trouble, wouldn't it? If that happened in our culture, I think all of us would be married by now, especially if you're above 18. They were much made as young as even 3. Then when they became of age, they meet each other for the very first time with intention, with, of course, the parents' communication that this is going to be your husband, this is going to be your wife. And then they would have an engagement. The parents would give gifts in exchange. And that period would last 1 year, the betrothal period. Now, at betrothal, the couple was as good as married. And any separation required proper divorce. And then, of course, the marriage would happen after a year, and the couple would start living together. Now, this is when an angel divinely interrupts Joseph's plans and Mary's plans. Now, for the parents who knew the promise of the virgin birth, they passed on the story to their children, and particularly to the girls. So every teenage Jewish girl, expected in some way to probably be the mother of the Messiah, and that meant they kept themselves sexually pure. Every Jewish girl would have wanted to be the favored one, the blessed one. It said that historically Mary lived near a Roman military barracks, which was surrounded by prostitution. But amidst of all that evil, she was a virgin. And the privilege that her and Joseph have of being the earthly parents of a Savior is not just because they were pure and righteous. It was because of God's grace. It was because of God's favor. In fact, the Apostle John in chapter 1, verse 16 says, "And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace." We can look at our lives and all say that God has been gracious to us, hasn't he? God has poured down so many favors upon us, just like the life of Joseph and Mary. We may not, and of course we are not, the ones who had that privilege, they did, but we all have a lot of favors and privileges that God gives us as his children. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, Paul gives his own testimony of God's grace. He says, "By God's grace I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I," he says, "but the grace of God was with me." In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." We've all experienced God's favor. And this Christmas, I think we should be expecting and asking God to continue pouring his favors upon us, his church, and his children. In his fullness, we have received grace upon grace. And we will continue as God's children, experiencing God's favors, just like Joseph and Mary did, and anyone who will believe in Jesus Christ. And even those who do not know him yet are still under his grace. He still loves them, just like he does love us. Secondly, the Christmas narrative is one of faith leading to obedience. Now, in verse 29 to 38, so many things happen. But the initial response that Joseph and Mary had was one of fear. We can only have pictures of what angels look like and probably biblical descriptions. But we can also naturally have, and we do this, we naturally have a tendency to fear. The fear of the unknown or even the fear of the known. An angel appears and greets Mary in a unique way. She's never had this greeting before. "Rejoice." She's like, "What? Highly favored one. Me?" You know? She's afraid. And the angel says, "Do not be afraid." Verse 30. Don't fear. Joseph in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew records in chapter 1, verse 18 to 21. He knew they were sexually pure and they were looking forward to marriage. And he hears that Mary is pregnant. And being a just man, the Bible says that he wanted to put her away silently. All he wanted to do is just stop answering her texts and answering her emails and slowly move away from her. An angel appears to him and says, "You know, Joseph, don't worry. You know, she didn't mess up. It's actually God's work." And Joseph was like, okay. He believed. In fact, Elizabeth would say of Mary in verse 45, "Blessed is she who believes." Or she who believed. "Blessed are you among women," verse 42, "and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And when all the fear is cleared, all the confusion, all the concerns, all the impossibilities, our response should be a faith. That God takes away that fear and gives us faith. Simple trust. You know what Mary said thereafter? "Let it be so, your maidservant. It's okay. I'll do it, Lord." That is faith, simple faith. When Joseph's concerns were cleared, simple faith. It's okay, Lord. Fear is gone. There was fear of the message and the messenger. There was the fear of human impossibility. How many of us are attacked by the fear of human impossibilities? You know, as a pastor, I get to talk to a lot of people, and you know, they come to me, will I ever get married? You know, will I ever have a good life? Will I ever get a job? You know? And you're thinking, is God dead? He is still alive, and in his due time, he will perform and give you and grant you the desires of his heart. Just wait upon him. It takes faith. And faith is the opposite of fear. And I pray this Christmas that when God gives us a message, sends us to somebody and tells us to do something, that we may not just look at how hard it is and how impossible it is and how terrible the person is and whatever the situation, but that we would respond by faith. Okay, Lord, I receive it. It's your word. I'll go do it. You know, we have a testimony of faith in the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 8, and it's of one man called Stephen. The Bible records that he was full of faith, and through his faith, great wonders and signs were performed by God among people. You want God to perform some great signs and wonders and do certain great things in our day, in your life? It takes faith. In fact, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, the writer would get so strong to say that it is impossible to please God without faith. It says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We want to please God like Joseph and Mary did. It takes simple trust. In fact, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Just receive to be true what he says. And lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You fear the path. You're looking at all the impossibilities, and you fear the message and the messenger, and the process is going to be tedious, and you don't know how things are going to work out. Trust in the Lord. He gave you the word. He will take you through it. A lot of our Christian struggle is not because we do not know what God wants us to do. We can all say that we have a certain degree of God. We know his word. We know his will for us. And if you don't know, of course, you ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? But most of the time, we are stubborn. We make a lot of excuses. I mean, Joseph could have said, okay, Lord, I understand you've cleared the situation, but I'm still not going to marry her. You know, Mary could have said, I understand, God. There's nothing impossible with you. You know, you're going to do this in your power. The Spirit of God is upon me. Your favor is upon me. But no, thank you. I will not do it. And we often find ourselves doing that, don't we? God speaks very clearly. Go do this, or go to this place, or do this thing. But you're like, no, Lord. That simple faith that Joseph and Mary had to receive God's word and to allow it into their life then produced obedience. Joseph was like, great, I'll marry her. Mary was like, let it be so, my servant. Rather, to your maid servant. I will carry my Lord in my womb. I will raise him. And God commands us to obey many times in scriptures. In Leviticus chapter 22, verse 31, he says, therefore you shall keep my commandments and perform them. I am the Lord. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, can we all say that we love God? We love him, right? He says, keep my commandments. Obey my commandments. You know them. In John chapter 15, verse 10, he told them, and he's telling us, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We want to abide in God's love, abide in his favor. having simple faith that leads us to obedience. Okay, Lord, I'll go do it. Thirdly, the Christmas time is one of being filled by God's power, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the angel would tell Mary, for with God, verse 37 of Luke chapter 1, nothing will be impossible. Nothing. It takes God's power. I mean, look at everything that God has done in the history of the church, from creation, even in our own lives. Incredible things. There is nothing impossible with God. In fact, He does the least expected. You're there going around your day, your normal day, and God interrupts you with His power. Around Christmas time, we can be very material-minded, very materialistic. In fact, the Christmas time is the most materialistic around the world. This is when everyone, all through all cultures, buy gifts. In fact, I'm waiting to hear the statistics of how much the world spent on Christmas cards and Christmas gifts and shipping Christmas cargo. Billions of dollars. And we forget that the first Christmas wasn't a materialistic one. It was a story of God's power. The coming down of the power of God in His Spirit. That a virgin would conceive. That Jesus would be born. And that he would be raised by an ordinary carpenter and a teenager. I read a story of a man who bought a beautiful diamond ring for his wife for Christmas. And after hearing about it, a good friend of his asked him, I thought your wife wanted one of those sporty four-wheel drive vehicles. How many would love that for Christmas? His friend said, yes, she did. But where was I going to find a fake Jeep? He answered. Christmas started not with all these material things that we see, gifts, the food, and the drinks, and the decorations, and holidays, and whatsoever. In verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Coming of the Holy Spirit. In verse 41, and it happened when Elizabeth greeted Mary that the babe lived in her womb, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only do we need God's power, the power of God's Spirit, His presence in us for accomplishing, you know, the things that He has called us to accomplish, we need His power to overcome the evil that is around us. We need God's power to be able to overcome evil in this world. We need God's power, the power of His Spirit, the gifts of His Spirit, that more men would go out for the ample harvest. It takes God's power to be humble enough to come and clean this place so that everybody finds it clean and comfortable. It takes God's power for the choir to sing and for men to step out, to play instruments and learn them. It takes God's power for me to come here and deliver His word. Each time I'm coming to preach, I feel like going to the gents. Feel like hiding. It takes God's power. If you've done public speaking, you know that it's a very nervous experience. But it takes God's power for each one of us to step out and do what He has called us to do. It takes God's power, just like it did take God's power for Mary and Joseph to be parents to Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, verse 8, we are told that Peter, who was once a coward, 3 times he denied the Lord, but filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 4, verse 8, he preaches. I pray that God may fill this church with His Spirit, that even the fruits of His power and presence in us may be seen. The Bible teaches the joy, the love, the patience in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Now the gentleness would be visible. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. We can easily fill ourselves with food and drink and stuff ourselves with gifts. Let's not forget that Christmas started with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we should ask God to help us, to fill us with the Spirit, that we may continue in that power. As we've looked at the life of Joseph and Mary, I think we should all take the lessons from their lives, the lesson, and let's never forget that God has His favors pouring on us, and that we should be asking God, just pour Your favors upon us this day. Lord, we need Your favors for 2014 and through this Christmas season. So many favors, and we can all have plans for 2014, and it takes God's favor for those plans to come to pass. Whether it's getting married or finding a house or whatever the thing is, extending education, and you have your plans. We all have plans. It takes God's favor for those plans to come to pass. The second lesson is that we should have simple faith. You know, to be a Christian is a simple thing. Just to receive God and His word and to take Him at it. Like, God, You said it. I'm going to have a child. I'm going to do this. You're sending me here. So it be. Let it be. That faith may lead us to obey Him. That when God says, okay, step one, go do this. Go talk to this person. You know, deliver this, that we may step out in obedience. And lastly, let's remember to ask God to fill us with His Spirit. Just like Mary was full of the Spirit, and Elizabeth was, and many others, we have God's Spirit today. It's not confined to a particular place, a particular person, for a particular season, like it was in the Old Testament. When Jesus died, Peter received the Spirit. And all the believers that were there, the believers who received Jesus on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 4. And all through church history is a story of the work of the Spirit. And we should be asking God daily, through this season, into next year, and all through our lives, that God would empower us by His Spirit. And it's only by His Spirit that we will live this life clean from the impurities that are all around us. It's God's power that will give us faith and patience when we have to wait on the Lord. It's God's power that will give us gifts. If you're out there and you're wondering, what is my gift? What is my spiritual gift? It takes God's power for you to know that gift and to step up, step out, to use it for the benefit of us all. Amen? Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for the lessons that You have for us today, and Lord, how we are challenged, Lord, to obey You, Lord, to have simple trust in You, Jesus, to continue enjoying Your favors and even asking You for more, Lord, because You're just so good. Jesus, we ask that You fill us with Your Spirit. Fill us with Your power, Lord. We need Your power every day, Lord. In whatever we do, Lord, whether it's at work, at home, traveling, Lord, those who are in school, and whatever we go through sickness, Lord, through pain, through trials, Lord, through joy and happiness, Lord, we need Your Spirit. We need Your power, Lord. I pray that we may experience that this Christmas, Lord. Father, You command us to obey. Lord, help us act in obedience, that we may say yes to You and not just stay there, but go on to do the task that You're leading us to accomplish, Lord. So again, Lord, we pray that pour down your favor upon us, Lord. Lead us to believe in you some more, Lord, and to obey you. Lord, again, empower us with your spirit this Christmas and into next year. In your powerful name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Merry Christmas.